Hi guys, it's Callie and Gianna. We are back for kind of a part two of last week's episode on everything that's been going on in our country.
It just still doesn't seem right for me to come on here and just rip Callie a new one. Do you want to point out for the first time in her entire life, she has made it above exit 64 on the parkway. She's in the flesh.
We are coming to you live from Hoboken, New Jersey. This is the second time we've recorded together, but the first time being not on video and actually about a real topic.
We don't have a producer this time.
I know, it's just really us.
Kind of just free reigning it.
We're actually really excited about it though, because just the energy of recording together, it's just so much more genuine and fun for the both of us. And we're happy that you guys get to hear it, especially on such important topics.
It's electric. Boogie woogie woogie.
We had to laugh because we haven't, again, we really do like to talk about just silly fun life things, but of course we realize it's extremely inappropriate to do that right now, so to be able to just laugh a little.
I almost tried to make Callie start because she was singing and she sings some Aerosmith, when I close my eyes. Come on.
I forgot the words.
I don't want to miss a thing.
Even when I dream of you.
She wouldn't start like that, but it kind of bamboozled her into doing it.
She really wanted me to start by singing that song. And I was like, dude, we can't. It's so fucking serious. But you guys know how we are. We can do both. Get you a girl that can do both.
Get you a socialist girlfriend.
Get you a socialist girlfriend.
We're going to change this into the socialist girls.
You might change the name because we are truly dateable. The only thing that makes us undateable is that we're socialists, apparently.
And the men that we choose.
Republicans.
Did I date a Republican?
You might. I've watched you hook up with Republicans if you want to go there. I know.
I'm shocked.
Yes.
No, that wasn't me.
We are very excited to be in person with you guys to talk about this. So the way we kind of left off last week was just kind of educating you on the perspectives, both from being a white person during the Black Lives Matter movement and being a person of color, a Black person, and kind of just the right and wrong things to do, say, how to look at it.
Just
from our personal opinions, we weren't pushing anything that, everybody has to listen to. It's kind of just if you wanted to feel more educated, how we felt about it. But we're kind of coming out with things this week that we've noticed that have been talked about since last week.
And that people seem to have questions about.
Yeah, exactly. People who felt confused, they didn't know how to go about certain things. And we kind of just want to address it, not only from a place of opinion, but a place of facts. We do have statistics. We do have real definitions. So this week is no bullshit. This is how, these things are put into the public, kind of. So I think, Gianna heard a lot of feedback, and I think we wanted to start with the fact of voting.
I know that both me and Callie have shared stuff about the importance of voting and how your voice can be heard and how I think we are very surprised with the amount of people that were sharing information and getting involved in the conversation that maybe you would have stayed quiet before. But we really want to emphasize the point of, okay, you can post this and that on Twitter and Instagram, but let's see some action. And the most important thing that you can show action with is voting. And I posted on my story a couple months ago, why people our age don't vote. And the overwhelming responses were that, number one, you don't think it matters. You think that either way, conspiracy theories and people are just going to control the voting. And for sure, that's happening. Voter suppression is real. Russia, shout out if you're listening.
Shout out.
We know you tampered and we can see you, we hear you. Fuck off. Number two, that people were just not educated. They felt that they weren't educated enough. Are you really sneezing on my podcast?
I tried so hard to hold it in. Go on.
people felt they weren't educated enough to really make a genuine vote.
And the education thing upsets me because it really does take 0.5 seconds to go onto Google and look up. It's just, it's very easy. So please don't let the education, don't think you need years of political science, like college courses to vote. You don't.
Well, I mean, in 2020, it's really like, are you voting for a rapist?
Yeah.
Or are you not?
It gets to a point where like you're put with very few choices and it's not hard to figure out who's a dick and who's not, or who aligns with basic human rights and who doesn't. So please seek out that information. I promise it's easier than you think.
And I saw this on Twitter, but like, if you can take the time to stalk your ex's ex-girl or your boyfriend's ex-girlfriend, you can take the time to
look up someone who's running for office.
For sure. We're not asking for a lot.
And it's getting to a point where like, I mean, I think there's a point of my, like, I obviously voted in the last election. It was the first election I could vote in and it was a very crucial one. But like,
but the amount of people that didn't vote in that
is alarming. And of course I didn't know everything. And of course I probably could have known more. And I know more now than I did then. Again, don't regret my vote. I don't think anyone would, but you don't need to be an expert. Just like us sitting here talking about this right now, you don't need to be an expert. It's not that hard to see right from wrong at this point. And I know you might think that you don't have an effect, but you do.
And do you just want to say that we're not pro Joe Biden?
No, we're not. We're not big Joe Biden girlies. We're just
pro not Trump.
Yep. And it's sad to say, like, I mean, you're talking to, again, not to get too weird, but two victims of sexual assault. We don't want to vote for Joe Biden.
God.
I know, sorry. But, like, that's a good example. Like, we are two of the last people that would want to vote for him. But will we do it to not have Trump in office again? Like, that is how serious
Absolutely.
This is. I will vote for somebody that, like.
I would vote for that banana over there.
I vote for your fucking doorknob over Donald Trump. Like, that's how.
I would vote for the cockroach in my apartment.
I would vote for Sebastian.
Sebastian, if you can hear us, you get our vote.
Like, Gianna literally has a cockroach in an apartment that she's named Sebastian. And, like, I'd rather him be our president. Like, but in all seriousness, like, we are, like, I explained this to a couple people the other day. I was down in South Carolina and I was around people who said they didn't want to vote. And I didn't know how to tell them that, like, it means everything to vote right now. And I know you don't want to take it seriously. And I know it doesn't seem like a big deal. I know you don't think your voice makes a difference, but it truly does to millions of depressed Americans across this country. You need to vote and you need to not vote for MAGA head.
And not, no pressure, but a vote for whoever ends up being the Democratic nominee, like, I think we know, but like, I don't want to say.
You don't want to manifest that.
But voting against Trump is voting against rape. It's voting against
racism.
It's voting against people with disabilities. Like,
you're really taking a stand when you vote against him. And even if it's
and you know his crazy psycho followers are gonna be first in line at those voting.
Exactly. And it's because they have the ability to be, which, like, we wanted to talk about this later, but to go into voter suppression, it's very hard. Like, they make it very hard for, number one, people our age, people in populated cities where there's young kids, people where there's African Americans. They make it very difficult and very frustrating to vote. They put one booth, so it takes 6 hours for African American and Latinos to vote. They put them in cities where there's a lot of, you know, Generation X and Generation Z. They make it so that we don't want to vote, and they do that on purpose because they know if millennials, African Americans, Latinos, you know, people of minorities, they know if we all vote that he wouldn't be there anymore. So voter suppression is when they make it very hard for people of those subgroups to vote, but they make it very easily for, you know, hundreds and thousands of white straight men in Alabama to vote.
I have experienced voter suppression, actually.
Has it been up here?
No, I was at my hometown and I was voting in the primary, last primary, and I knew I was registered vote. They told me I wasn't, but I was in the book, like the paper books.
Yeah.
And like I had evidence that I was, what's it called? Registered. And they were like, sorry, you're just like not coming up in our computer system, but I was in the binder, which, like, why you even have things in a binder anymore.
Yeah.
So I literally had a vote in the primary on like with a pencil and paper.
Like it's fucking 1917.
It's 1917. Like I'm just like not sure why it's easier for me to vote for Dancing with the Stars but from my couch and on my phone than it is to vote for the presidential election. Like that's not a mistake.
That doesn't sound right. It doesn't seem right at all.
And that's not a mistake.
And it's just like, it's so weird because like with everything going on in the pandemic and everybody being worried about a second wave and, you know, but when we want to do mail-in ballots, mm-hmm. everybody's all upset and the president's like, no mail-in ballots because
he knows that that's going to fuck yeah, with him.
If every person in this country could vote without having to be late for work or having to find a car to get there or having to find transportation, he would lose. And him being worried that more people in this country than rich white Americans can vote, being like that scares him. That's something to be scared of, you know. If he really thought that he made a difference and that he should be president again, mail-in ballots wouldn't scare him. But he knows that a good amount of people in this country wouldn't reelect him. And that's why it's important, regardless of how long you have to wait or how annoying it is to drive, you know, 20 minutes away to do it because they don't have a ballot in your area. I promise you, if it's hard for you to vote, it's for a reason. And it's because they know you're going to vote a way that is going to change this country. But that's exactly what we want. So no matter how hard or annoying or time-consuming voting may seem, you have to do it. We literally need you to do it.
You have to do it. You can do it. It's so easy. If you're not sure if you're registered to vote, you can go on vote.org. You can just literally type in your name and your address.
15 seconds.
15 seconds.
It's so quick.
I was actually really confused because it says that it's actually my old address, but then I changed it and said it was already this address. So very confused. They're continuing to try to suppress me. Trump, I hear you. I see you. Go fuck yourself.
We see what you're – and if you go to vote.org, not only will it tell you if you're registered or not, it'll tell you when you need to do your mail-in ballot, how, what the closest polling station to you is.
Where you have to vote if you don't have an absentee ballot.
It does it all for you. It makes it so easy. And, like, not only should you want to do it because, like, if you truly love this country, you want better for it. But me and Gianna were just talking about this. Like, people died for the right for you to do this, whether you're a woman, whether you fought for this country, whether you're 18 and older. This is a right that you have, and you want to use all your other rights. You want to be able to do, you want freedom of speech, you want freedom of protest, you want the right to bear arms, you want the right for this, this, and this. Well, guess what? Voting is one of those rights. This is a part of being an American, which is apparently the greatest country in the world. And if you really believe that, then you will go out and vote. And if you love this country, you will not vote for the person that's currently trying to destroy this country and split it in half. Voting really is, like, we say this all the time that voting is so important, but this might be
the most important
election of all. And it all comes down to what side of history do you want to be on in November?
And it's also like I saw on Twitter where I get like most of my information because we can't trust the media.
Because the news sucks.
I saw it and was like, imagine being on the wrong side of history right now when history is repeating itself.
It's an open note test.
And you're failing.
No, and it's so weird because I never looked at it like that because, of course, like, I don't look at cops as, you know, like, slave owners. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that that's what I think.
That's the history, though.
But that is the history. And, you know, we're at a point where a lot's about to change. And, you know, the systems that we've grown up with that we're used to are going to change. And, you know, holding on to the old right now, you know, I had a friend, what I used to call a friend, and I said something about the cops. And she said to me, well, maybe you should stop saying that. And I just thought to myself, like, imagine just thinking nothing ever had to change and it's okay to look at things one way and not think things need, you know, refurbishing and to be progressed. And I just think we're at a point where we can really push that. And if you're not for that, I think in a few years, you're going to regret that. You're going to regret being on the side of history where you think the way things are right now is okay. And I wouldn't want to be there.
I can't imagine being there.
I can't imagine not, like, you know, there's that thing going on Instagram where it's like you are responsible for being better than the generation before you. It's I'm not saying that the way things are right now, I mean, they are terrible, but I'm not saying that we're wrong, of course. Like, we're only, like, I'm not expecting complete, like, reform overnight. But, you know, we are in a place where we can make things better. If you don't believe in that, like, I don't really know why you're here in this country where things are supposed to keep getting better and we're supposed to keep learning and growing. Like, why are you here if you want – this isn't Soviet Russia. Like, things are going to change, and that's okay. And I don't understand why you would be against that.
I also just want to point out that people in our age group are the biggest section of population of people that can vote right now. Yep. We have the biggest voice. We're just not being loud.
No, we're being so quiet. We're just being so quiet. And I don't know why, because we're loud about everything else.
We're so loud.
We're loud when we want a Chipotle bill in our
fucking
area.
A Chipotle about your fucking haircuts, about your TikToks.
About sports coming back. You have no problem being loud, but
when your gyms, God forbid, the gyms are closed.
Oh my God,
the gyms. Go to a voting booth and call me back.
Go, like, care for a second about something, not just your future, but the people around you, your coworkers, your neighbors.
You guys are so selfish.
Oh my God, imagine. No, but we're not trying to rip anybody, but we're just trying to say, like, this is the time to take a step back and care about literally everything but yourself. This doesn't affect you. I get that. That's fine. But it affects your future, you know, your teachers, your friends, your nurses, your the people that you so stand for. It's time to stand up for these people. Like, whether it affects you personally or not, like Gianna said, like, our generation, like, we actually have the opportunity. You know, I had a friend, and he works in a store where we live, and somebody said to him, he was like, your generation's going to change the world. Like, do we want to sleep on that, or do we want to actually do it?
We ain't acting on it, so let's do it, bitches.
I think we need to actually do it. And I think this is a really weird place for us to go into this. And again, like, I want to preface this the way I prefaced it in the last episode. We are not anti-cop. We are not a fan of the way law enforcement has handled things in the last, I mean, forever. And we do think that the system needs reform. I mean, I'm coming from a place where, you know, my brother-in-law's a cop, so that I have friends that are cops that aren't speaking to me. You know, this has been a really weird subject for me. But a lot of you, again, we want to cover things that you've probably seen lately, and you've probably seen a lot of defund the police. To be clear, what it means to defund the police just right now in this phase does not mean to get rid of the police right now in this phase. I'm going to say that again, because if no week I'm here saying abolish the police, I do not want this held against me. But I am not here to talk about that. I'm here to talk about defunding the police. So defunding the police is to reduce police budgets and put that money in other places, such as education, public health, hospitals, housing, youth services. I think it's important to point out that if you feel insulted by this, you should think back to maybe high school or middle school. We have been defunding education for years. My sophomore year of high school, my bus got cut.
I didn't have paper one year.
Our food. I don't know if anyone remembers, like, the weird food budget thing that happened. I was in aftercare. My parents worked at casinos until 5 or 6 p.m. We got our snacks cut. I know breakfast was a thing at some schools. If your parents went to school before or went to work for 8 or 9 a.m., you would have breakfast at school. That got cut. Like I said, buses got cut. We have been defunding and cutting corners in other areas for years. And, you know, I said this to Gianna earlier, and she already knew, and I didn't. The U.S. spends a total of $115 billion a year on police budgets. Have you ever heard anything like that in your fucking life?
What are we paying for?
I don't really.
And I just want to point out that, by the way, like, we're paying for this. Like, yeah. This is where our tax money is going. And I know I looked up just specifically in New York City, but the New York City budget for police, the NYPD, is $6 billion. And everything else combined for the entire city is less than just the NYPD budget.
I think I read that, like, it was the LAPD, like, they were, like, $2 billion alone.
So,
and that's just one county.
Yeah, and when we say defund the police, we're not saying cut their jobs, we want them out of jobs, blah, blah, blah.
But why are they being given more money when there's things like health, education, housing?
We're just saying that maybe the weight, all that we're putting on police, maybe should be separated. So when it comes to social working, you need at least a graduate degree to be a social worker.
At least.
To be a police officer, you don't even need to graduate high school. You just need a GED.
The bare minimum.
And to give someone with no education, basically. This is no offense to anybody with a GED. Like, I'm just saying, why are we holding social workers or counselors or mental health people or pretty much anyone else, lawyers, think about anyone, a doctor has to go through at least 6 years of schooling to get that license, but we're giving police officers a gun, a weapon.
And again, I said this earlier, you know, I was on a phone call with somebody because they kind of called me to tell me that, you know, like I was being very bold on social media, which like I get that on a regular basis, but especially right now. And they kind of just were saying, you know, like not all cops are bad and this, this, and this. And I was like, I get that. But like, you know, you look at a doctor and you hold them to such a high standard and you don't let them make mistakes and you expect so much out of them. You expect such a high education. You expect this, this, and this. And I just don't know why we don't look at law enforcement the same and where we got so lost along the way that it's like, I've had people become cops that I like grew up with. And I'm like, a guy I went to, like I dated in high school became a cop, like a guy that was verbally and emotionally abusive, did a lot of drugs. And then 2 years after high school, he was a cop and he had all this respect. And it's just like this person was telling me like, oh, like you want to like, I want to work in social media. Or I want to work in marketing and I'm not allowed to tweet negative things about my political views. But you know, like cops are allowed to be in high school and they're allowed to abuse and harass and have a racist history.
Cops are allowed to be in white supremacist groups.
They're allowed to have histories of domestic abuse in their relationships. And then they don't even have to have a college degree, but I'm expected to respect them to the highest degree. And I'm expected to not log on to social media and be upset when I see them killing people that look like me. And I'm just wondering like, where this twisted sense of like authority comes from, where like they are so above us, when in reality me and Jana combined have more education and human compassion than probably most people in law enforcement that we know. But I can't go on Twitter and express that I'm upset. And I just don't know when we got to this place where we're so afraid of speaking out against them. And you know, there's a video circulating on Twitter right now of a NYPD officer, and he's basically like bitching and just going off on how they're disrespected and they deserve this, this, and this. And it's lined up with a series of videos of them abusing, you know, people trying to peacefully protest.
I think that was in Austin.
Was that? I think it was NYPD though.
Really? I'm so offended.
No, it is. And it's really bad. It was like, it's really
I thought it was in Texas.
When you watch it, it's like really, really, I saw it too.
I guess I didn't know where it was.
It's so sad. And it's just like, why are you demanding respect?
You know what I was told when I was a VP in my sorority? That respect was earned, not given. So why are we just giving these people respect when
they
don't
receive it even the slightest?
And if I'm held to a bigger standard as a VP of a fucking sorority in college, and I was told that they shouldn't respect me, it's earned. Like, why are we respecting these people? It's earned. And when we are constantly seeing their actions of, I think just in like these 2 weeks, like it's so eye-opening that like, they're holding guns while we're peacefully protesting and pepper spraying people in their face and like literally just going against the First Amendment. And it's like,
that's another thing. Like somebody posted a video on Twitter. It was like a white man somewhere, obviously down south. And he was like, oh, you guys want to defund and abolish the police? Go ahead, go do it. But when you want to do crime, like, you'll see us with our guns.
Like, the amount of tweets that I saw that
bold of white people to assume when cops aren't in charge, they are. Like, first of all, there's an entire plan for if there's no more police. Like, it doesn't just mean a fucking free-for-all. Like, there is a step-by-step, like, situation where if we were to get rid of what we look at as law enforcement, there would be a replacement for it. But it's just like, it just shows you the racism in this country where there's white people down south that are like, oh, no more cops. Okay, well, then we'll just get our fucking
we'll get it. Yep. Like, we got this. No one asked you. No one asked you. No one called you.
And it's scary. Do you know how, like, when I watched it, like, I was like, that's scary. That's scary to think if I went down south and a white person saw me, like, they would potentially, like, start shit with me. And, like, I don't think, like, everyone's always, oh, when black people walk by their car, they lock the door. I'm at a point in my life where I'm fucking scared of white people. Like, it goes both ways. Like,
me too.
It's when I was down south visiting my family, you know, there was tables set up selling Trump and Confederate flags. And, like, I don't want to walk past that once. Like, that shit scares me. Like, you think you're scared of black people. Well, guess what? Like, we're kind of fucking scared of you at this point because it's just because it has. It's become a race war when we're not asking for a race war. We're just asking for equality. And it's like, it sucks that it's come to this, but you know, when it gets like this, when your country gets like this split in half, there's one person to hold responsible, and that's your president.
Damn this cat.
It's so true.
I like, do just want to point out that, like, when Callie's like, we're not just getting rid of the police and then it's a fucking free-for-all. Like, we're asking that social workers get more funding and mental health counselors get more funding. So when police are not qualified to get calls about, like, domestic violence, suicide,
with mental illnesses, like, they don't know how to deal with that. They didn't go to school for it. They went to 30-hour fucking training.
Let me make something very clear. If I see one more tweet about who's going to solve the crimes, first of all, ever watch Real Housewives? Those bitches can solve the crimes. Also
cops don't solve crimes.
JonBenet Ramsey's murder has gone unsolved.
Ask the cops about that.
For 25 years. So call me back when that gets solved.
It's like, honestly, like, justice for JonBenet Ramsey. No, but seriously, like, we live in this naive world where, like, you think
the cops solve everything. Like, wait, I'll watch one true crime episode.
What do you think, detectives, the FBI, the CSI, like when somebody's
while
like,
we're here, the FBI murdered JFK and we're just like pretending that they didn't. Why do you think we never found out what happened?
This is like the fourth time I've talked about JFK with Gianna. Like, I didn't bring it up.
Two things I'll never get over: JonBenet Ramsey and JFK.
Rightfully so. Like, I will watch documentaries on that with you.
First of all, it was the brother. The brother did it. Like, anybody with a fucking two eyeballs can actually, a blind man can see it. Blind man can see it.
I
want an arrest.
I'm not gonna lie. It was the brother. It was so the brother. There's no other
He answer. Shit in her bed.
It wasn't the parents. I'll give you that.
The brother did it, but the parents definitely covered hit it. The brother did it, and they covered it up. This is now a true crime podcast.
We should do a whole podcast on that case. I would love that.
I will solve it overnight.
I feel like other people would like it, too.
Let us know.
No, but seriously, like, when there's, like, a murder, like, the cops show up, yeah, but, like, they're not the ones that solve it.
Okay, look at O.J. Simpson. He obviously did it.
You need to stop thinking the cops do everything.
Five murders that were never solved. So miss me with that bullshit of who's going to solve the crimes. Obviously, the police haven't done it anyway with that $6 billion budget.
Who are you going to call? Somebody tweeted the other day, they're like, how many times have you called the cops for a robbery and, like, it's been solved?
I'm not going to lie, I did call the cops on the people that lived above me once because they were having a full-out party during quarantine, and the police said they couldn't help me. You know how many times I've called the police and they're like, I'm sorry, sweetheart, we can't do anything.
You know when the cops have helped me during, like, traffic issues or car accidents, which is rightfully, that's their job. Sexual assault, called the cops, nothing. They didn't do anything. Like, I just don't know why you think, like, you're so hard-pressed on thinking, like, they're going to fix everything, and that if like we talk shit on them, like, now, like, oh, well, what are you like, what am I going to do? I'm like going to do what I've done in the past. Like, figure it the fuck out. Like, I'm so tired of that narrative that, like, we would be nothing without cops. And you even look at the protests, like, they've incited violence more than protesters. And I didn't even come here to be anti-cop. This happens every time I come on this podcast. I don't even want to be anti-cop, but it's so frustrating to try and, like, defend African Americans, and then people are like, well, what are you gonna do without cops? Why are these mutually exclusive ideas?
Before this gets into more anti-cop, I just want to reiterate that before white people go, what are you gonna do without cops? Like, we're just saying that the police do not need a budget of $6 billion. That's just New York City, by the way. They don't need that budget, and it could be utilized with other people who are trained, who go to college and other, get more certifications. Then, like, there's no reason that it should take less time to become a cop than it does to become a hairdresser.
That's the most disturbing, like, statistic of them all. It costs, like, it's like a well over 400 hours difference between becoming a police officer and a hairdresser. And I like, to me, that's astronomical, but, like, I've done the research, like, Gianna's done the research, we compared notes. It is a fact. Like, you can go look it up yourself if you don't believe us.
Less time to become a hairdresser. I mean, a police officer.
Even to become a doctor, a speech pathologist, a veterinarian.
A social worker needs at least a graduate degree.
So, and like Gianna said, they all get a gun.
That's 6 years of college, and they're getting paid way less than a police officer.
I saw this statistic earlier, and I copied it because I thought it was interesting. Police in the United States are killing more people in law enforcement than other developed countries such as United Kingdom, Japan, and Germany. So if you, again, still don't think that law enforcement is making mistakes, why are we so ahead of other countries with, you know, developed law enforcement, like with killings? You know, like I read something the other day where Finland's killed like 3 people in the last 5 years. Like, why? And I think we've killed 1,007. So like over 1,000 people this year have died at the hands of law enforcement. I'm just like struggling to see like where you think that's normal. And I know it's so easy to ignore these statistics. I know it's so easy to say Blue Lives Matter and they're on the front
line. I actually want to point out something that my brother wrote, which like, yes. I'm so proud of
him. I loved everything about that. Please read it.
You bitches with like the statistics that white people are more likely to get killed by cops than black people. Here are some facts. 263 black people were killed by police in 2019. 835 non-black people were killed by police in 2019. 40 million black people live in the U.S. 288 million non-black people live in the U.S. Black people make up 13% of the U.S. population. 72% of the population is white. Let me repeat that. 72% of the population is white. Police officers killed 0.0006% of the population that is black, and 0.00002% of the white population. There are less black people in our country by 7 times. Yet they are 3 times more likely to be killed by the police.
Explain that one.
99% of killings by police between the years of 2013 and 2019 did not result in an officer being charged with a crime.
Oh my God. And when you hear it like that, like it makes you feel sick because like even I being black, like I hear a couple cases a year and I'm like, okay, like maybe it's a coincidence. Maybe these cases are getting more attention than white cases. But when you hear those numbers, like how do you like listen to that and think that's okay?
A black person is 7 times.
7 times.
More likely to get murdered by a police officer.
That number's too high.
Also, Nico, my brother, said, also, I see all you fuckers who talk all that shit about Kaepernick taking a knee, but you still post that black box, you fucking sheep.
And like, several points have been made. Like, if you posted the black box, but a few years ago when Kaepernick took a knee, like, you were anti, like, no.
I do want to say, I did feel a little bit bad last week, like, shitting on everyone in the black box. But now, with, like, a week later, I feel so validated because the white people that posted a black box last
week
have been real quiet, haven't said fucking shit, haven't posted one thing, I don't even want you to like share, oh, I donated here, blah blah blah, haven't posted a single fucking thing besides that black box.
It disappeared.
You were literally posting black noise. Get out of my face and fuck your black box. Sorry.
Oh my God, she told you. No, but it is upsetting, and I think like
they really thought, oh, I did something.
But like, if
your job was not done,
you haven't shared resources, if you've disappeared, like this is not over. And I know it feels over just because, you know, and again, one of the people arrested for George Floyd's death did post bail and he's free. It's not over here. There's still countless black people that have been murdered by, you know, like, not even just by police, but unjustly, that it, you know, Breonna Taylor, her murder still out there.
I also want to point out a tweet that I saw. It was obviously a white person, like a little blonde girl, and was like, why is no one talking about if you just stop doing illegal things, you won't be murdered?
I saw that. What a con.
And someone was like, Breonna Taylor was sleeping.
She was in her bed sleeping. We're getting to a point where, like, you can raise whatever point you want. And
but you're wrong.
You're wrong. And it's just like, I'm glad we're getting to that point because it's about fucking time. But before we move into I wanted to end off with how to not let the Black Lives Matter movement fade out. We wanted to move to systemic versus systematic racism.
And I just want to point out that I am definitely going to fumble over these two words.
It's, when they're next to each other, it's so hard. And it's even harder to research because, like, I have my own idea of the difference, and I know, but I wanted to come up with concrete, solid examples. And
then do this one.
Yeah. And it was really, really hard because, like, the internet is just kind of, like, clouded right now with a lot of bullshit. So I want to start with, you know, systemic racism is, you know, discrimination based on race, obviously, and it affects the system. But each individual institution is separate, and you have to separately prove them. Whereas systematic, it's embedded in the system. There's a plan. It's easier to point out. There's no question about it. Systematic is, again, like I said, it's like Georgiana said last week, it's written into the system. It's something that's really hard to change, and you can just see it. Whereas systemic, it affects the society, but it's harder to individually prove the different sections of society.
So this is harder to see.
It's
not so black and white, systemic, but this is
you
literally
have to have your binoculars on.
Like, it's like written into our country's fabric.
Gianna has some good resources though. Go ahead, Jay.
Okay, so we're gonna get into employment. Black Black unemployment rates have been consistently 2 times higher than that of whites for the past 60 years. Applicants with white sounding names get called back 50% more than people with black names, even with identical resumes. Blacks with college degrees are two times more likely to be unemployed.
So if two people go to apply for a job and one's name is John and one's name is Jamal, John fucking 8 out of 10 times will get the call before Jamal, and that is systemic racism.
I just want to point out that these are things that we're probably not even noticing that we're doing. It's basically just like a reflex at this point.
It's so deeply written, like Gianna said, into our history. Like, of course, you're going to look at two names. You're going to say, well, John probably comes from a good family with a good education, and he probably has the resources to get to work. So we're going to call John back. But you don't know anything about Jamal. You don't know, like, Jamal could have better resources than John. Like, you don't know that, but because you looked at a piece of paper and you read two names, most likely John's going to be picked.
Education. Black students are 3 times more likely to be suspended than white students for similar infractions. Black children make up 50% of suspensions. Once black children are in the criminal justice system, they are 18 times more likely to be tried as an adult than white kids.
Okay, so John and Jamal both go to the same high school. John skips school 5 times, and so does Jamal. When you call John and Jamal to the office, you call John in first. You tell John that he's on the lacrosse team and his family donates to the school a lot, so you know he's a good kid. Jamal comes in and his parents are really busy. They don't come to student teacher conferences. They don't donate to the school as much because they have a lot of other stuff going on. And you look at Jamal, he doesn't play sports. He doesn't really participate in class. So you give Jamal a suspension, whereas you give John kind of the free pass, whereas
a slap on the wrist.
You say, you know what, your parents are, you know, at a lot of your games. You're very involved in the school. So you know what, we'll give you another chance. This may not seem like it, but this is racism. You know, it's not Jamal's fault that his parents are busy. It's not Jamal's fault that he's not involved in school because he has to go home and take care of his brothers and sisters after work. But Jamal gets the shit end of the stick because John's family is more available. And then when Jamal goes to detention and he sees a lot of other kids that looks like him, he gets the feeling of, well, why am I even going to bother? Because people that look like me are always going to get fucked. I'm always going to be put in detention over John. So then Jamal begins to act out more. And that's just off of one simple, you know, detention or write-up that he got his freshman year. So it's really important, you know, you look at black students and you're like, oh, they're acting out, or, oh, they're always doing this, always doing that. But, you know, they see how they're treated in comparison to people like John. And things like that, you know, that goes into mental health. Of course, Jamal's going to act up because he already has the feeling that he's been set back years behind John. And that is, again, we'll go into that more later at the end of this. That is where systemic racism stems. You know, Jamal grows up in a school system where he is always behind his white peers.
So black people are 30% more likely than whites to be pulled over by the police. More than half of young black Americans know someone, including themselves, who have been harassed by the police.
And that just speaks for itself again.
I think we're aware of that.
That's everything that's going on right now. You know, it's very obvious that black people are treated differently by police. But I had a conversation with a guy around a year ago, and he said he was a cop, and we were talking about, you know, black, like police brutality against blacks. And he said, he was like, well, I just don't get, like, he's like, I pulled over black people and they get so defensive. And it's just, you hear stories, you know, like growing up, I heard stories from my family. I like, you see things on Twitter. And like Gianna said last week, like, how often do you see a cop and you feel safe? And, you know, black people become in a position where they see cops and they want to get defensive and they don't want to give them their license. And they know they're not supposed to search their car. And you really can't get upset because of like the predetermined thought that black people are afraid of cops when they get pulled over. They're wondering if they're going to fucking live to see the end of this pullover. So that's another important thing to think about.
So white families hold 90% of national wealth. Black families hold 2.6% of it. Since the 2008 recession, the wealth gap has increased. For every $100 earned by white families, black families earn 57.30.
Mm. That's just bad.
Black people are 20% more likely to be sentenced to jail time, plus 20% longer sentences than whites for the similar crimes. Blacks make up 13% of the population, but they make up 40% of the prison population.
That don't add up.
At all. I'm not gonna mad, but that don't make sense.
That don't make sense.
7.4% of the disenfranchised black Americans plus non-black Americans. I don't know what that meant.
So basically, you know, you look at situations where if you look at, you know, people like black people say this often. I see it on social media. You hear it if you listen to J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar, you hear it in lyrics. Black people are getting arrested for having a joint in their car and they're put in jail for 30 to 40.
Oh, I just want to point this out. I worked in cannabis and
weed is not bad.
No, I think breaking news. I think going off of that, like, black people are put in jail for having an ounce of weed on them, but now it is made into a $1 billion industry where white men are profiting off of it.
Whether it's for health or whether it is in states where it's legal, or I have anxiety, I have migraines. And, you know, that's, it's hard. Like, imagine being a black person and, in, you know, your father, your mother was put away for 20, 30 years for having an ounce or a gram of weed on you. And then you're hearing in Colorado, they're treating anxiety legally with it. And it's just like that is, it just, it puts such a setback. And that is what systemic racism is.
I think just the point,
black people are so pushed back by things that white people are benefiting from.
Right.
And it's, and black children are growing up and they're seeing this. And, you know, little like kids that are 5 or 6 years old are seeing their family members be put in jail for something that their white friends, family members are profiting off of. And then you wonder why black kids grow up and they're angry and they're acting out or they're not caring about the law. But you're like,
I think
black people are being pushed back so far for things that white people aren't even getting just, a slap on the wrist for.
Black people in this country are just not set up for success.
Ever. And
it's hurdle after hurdle after hurdle.
There's such a good video
hurdle.
I watched on Instagram. It was about systemic racism. And it was about, you know, a black kid that grew up next to a white kid. And it was like, you know, you go to school and the white kid is set up for honors and sports and scholarships. And the black kid is just constantly held back because of this, this, and this. And they have to come home after school and take care of their siblings so they can't join clubs and they can't do sports. And, you know, they're turned down for jobs and internships because of the color of their skin. And the white kid gets a really good scholarship to a good college, whereas the black kid doesn't get scholarships because he wasn't able to do sports and do this or get scholarships. So then he pays a lot of money to go to school and he's in debt. And it's just like, I know it's hard to see.
It's a domino effect.
It is. And, you know, a lot of black kids grow up in urban areas where they don't have the resources that white kids have. He doesn't have tutors for SATs. He doesn't have, like, they don't have after school programs because maybe it's not a safe neighborhood for, like, sports or after school programs. And then he's denied into a lot of programs. And, you know, it's so easy to say we're all given the same opportunity, but we're not. And it's really important to see that black people are given less of an opportunity. And it's 12, you know, when a black person does succeed, I promise you they work 20 times harder mm-hmm. than the person next to them that's white, because it is harder to successfully, like, to be black and successful. It's so fucking hard. And then they're looked down upon. It's harder for them to get a job and they end up having the same degree. They somehow pushed through all of these obstacles and got the same degree as John, but because their name's Jamal, they didn't get the job. So then all the work that they put in more than John doesn't even matter because of their name or their appearance or their color. And it's just so important. Like, you can't fix these things. You know, systemic racism goes so much deeper than, like, right now what one person can do. But if you are that person, if you are a hiring manager, if you are the CEO, it's important for you to realize that things like systemic racism do exist. And, you know, think twice. Say, you know what, maybe Jamal is the better hire over John. And it's just like, it goes so much deeper than saying, I'm one person, I can't fix this. Like, no, you can't fix systemic racism, but you might be the one person that can change. Just if you change one person's life, like, you do more than you think you've done. That's all I can say about that, I guess.
Should I even continue?
Well, I just want to explain, like, systematic is kind of,
I was going to go to the purple.
Like, that is, it's used to describe the way a process is done. So it's more behavior. Even though it may be unintentional, it's habitual. So, okay, it says, if you forget to lock your front door every time you leave the house, someone might say that is a systematic pattern of forgetfulness. If a cancer is systematic, it's present throughout the body. If you're describing how the cancer progressed, however, you could say it spreads systematically from organ to organ. So systemic and systematic are not the same. Like, systematic is more just like you don't really have control over it. So, like, systemic, like, you get John and Jamal and you look and you choose John. But, like, systematic is something like it, there's little, like, you don't have control over it. It might be above you, it might be something out of your hands, but that's the way the system was kind of manipulated so that Black people are having a hard time, like, filtering into that system. So that kind of goes back to Black people not getting the after-school activities or getting the, you know, like, ability to get a scholarship because they have to go home and babysit somebody, and the scholarship after-school program is right after school. So that systematically Black people are being held back from being better, whereas systemic is kind of more of a conscious choice, but it's kind of harder to pin down because you don't just point at people these days and say you're racist. We're in a time where that's, like, considered extremely inappropriate. But I think that a lot of what we're dealing with right now is more systemic. I think that our system is trying to be better. I mean, of course, we can't change, like, urban communities and the way people are brought up. But systemic is when you sit down and you look at two applications and you pick the less Black name.
I watched this video. It was in Italian. But they asked a bunch of kids, probably like 4 or 5 years old, some Black, some white, some Asian. They put in front of them a Black baby, and they put in front of them a white baby, and they asked just general questions of who's prettier, which one is bad. And
yeah, I can't only imagine what they picked.
Every single one of them said the white one was pretty and the white one was good. And at the end, one of the Black girls goes, "You offended me." He said, "Why did I offend you?" He said, "Because you wanted me to pick this one."
Yep, she is smart.
She said, "No, no, no, no."
I mean, when I was a kid, like, if you go home, and I don't think my mom has them all, I had white baby dolls. I had white dolls. And not like my mom bought me both, but what did you think I wanted? I wanted white baby dolls. I wanted white Barbie dolls. Like, I mean, there were Barbie dolls of when I was looking after up in a generation where there was a white one, and like a tan one like me, and then a Black one. I always picked the white blonde one. And we're just, it's so weird to think about. And then, like, I remember my first day in sixth grade, like, I looked at my grandmother who's Black, and I was like, can you straighten my hair? Like, my hair has to be straight. Like, and it's so weird to even realize that we're, like, installing these things into children, like, I mean, we're still in a racist time, but I didn't grow up in the 60s. Like, there's no reason I should have only wanted white dolls and only wanted white babies and I only wanted to a school dance if I had a blowout. Like, there was no reason for me to realize that. Or, like, me in eighth grade, I wanted blue contacts. Like, why did I know that already?
So embedded into, like, our standards of beauty and our standards of value, and that's racism, bro.
It is racism, bro. It's super fucked up. And it's super weird that we just have all ignored it for years. And it takes something like this. Like, to like recognize it. Like, I think for the last 4 years, I forgot about racism until like the last year. And that's just like super weird because it's so like embedded in our everyday life that we just think it's like normal.
I think just at this point, so many people are tired and so many people are fed up. And I think we're no longer accepting that this is our norm.
Yeah.
And I think that we have to create this better world for the future and for Black people, for white people, just to, it couldn't be better and should be better and change can happen. I don't think that we should just stick to the status quo because this is how it's done. Like, we can make this world more inclusive and more accepted for everybody.
And if we don't start now, like, when will we do it? The next revolution?
And also,
in 20 years?
Like, this is not over. I don't want 2 more weeks to go by and the protests die down and the tweets stop posting and tweeting away and your Instagram stories go back to you. Also, like, can we talk about the white people who, like, are, like, posting their fucking bikinis, like, pics still? Like, read the fucking room.
Read the fucking room.
I've never hated white people more, by the way. And I've never hated being white more. Because I don't want to be associated with these fucking people.
No, it's so bad because we are in a weird place where people are like, when does life go back to normal? And I mean, as long as you're always advocating, like, we never have to act like life is going back to normal.
I wanted to call out that video I watched. There's this woman, she's an influencer. She posted a very, very great video. I'm going to say her name wrong. I'm going to make it Italian. That's just how
I
read.
Oh, yeah. She showed me the name earlier, and I don't know.
Ivorelli? We'll tag her on Instagram because I think we already did, though. But it was a video. She's a Black woman, and it was about what white women can do now. I just want to, number one, point out that it's not Black women's jobs to educate us. Just fucking Google it. Number two, she made a point where, okay, we're posting, we're sharing.
Yeah.
We're donating. But what can we do in our everyday lives to move this forward? And she made just like such, it's so silly, but like it's so simple, where she said, you go to brunch and someone says something racist.
Call them out.
Call them out. Say, that's not okay. I'm not going to stand for it. We're not going to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You're at a family function and your drunk uncle says some dumb shit. Call him out. Make it uncomfortable.
If we make racism as uncomfortable as we make a lot of other things, people will stop. At least they'll stop doing it in public. At least they'll stop saying it out loud. At least maybe they'll go home and self-reflect and say, maybe I was really fucked up when I said that. And I think we're at a point where sometimes our friends, like, I'm friends with a lot of white people, and sometimes people say fucked up shit and I overlook it. And, like, that's not acceptable anymore. Like, we're at a point where if we really want to change, like, we can't accept racism as, like, a, oh, he's just drunk and says stupid shit. Like, no, like, racism isn't okay. It's just, like, it's like when we've cut off saying, you know, disrespectful words to, you know, people that are homosexual. Like, we need to make it like that. Like, we need to make it, it's not okay anymore.
Or like people with disabilities saying the R word.
Like, yeah, like we've cut off the F word for homosexuals. We cut up the R
word. Little things like just making situations uncomfortable, like calling out your friends.
Call your friends the fuck out.
And also stop surrounding yourself with people like that.
Yeah, also maybe think, maybe I don't even want to go to brunch with this person because, like, it's 2020 and they still think, like, that joke is funny.
It's 2020 and we're just, like, not here for racist people anymore.
Because I don't even know, like how much longer in time do you want to go? 5 years from now, like, you want to be the person that's still friends with a racist person? Like, it's just, it's overdone. It's just, it's not it anymore.
Also, like, the white people that are comparing the protests about the gyms opening, not being open because of COVID-19 to Black Lives Matter, go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, they're not the same. That's pretty bad.
I saw a couple of those. Go fuck yourselves.
It's as bad as it gets, honestly.
Is that all we wrote?
We had one more request. And I think like maybe you could help out a lot with this. How white people can use their platform in a positive way, but how also when it's negative.
I've seen so many videos and things where just like even going off of what I just said, like a white person, our voices are unfortunately louder than a black person. I think we're so worried with saying the right things. I think I said this last week that a lot of us don't say anything at all when black people aren't expecting us to be say the most eloquent things, or we're going to get things wrong, and that's okay. At least we're trying.
Yeah. It's better to be corrected and be taught than not to be say silent. Anything at all.
And, I think just if you're not sure to say, there's so many organizations right now that you can donate to. If you're not sure to say, there's like YouTube videos you can watch. There's Netflix shows you can watch.
And like Gianna just said, like, I think that was such a good point. Like for me, the biggest thing is like to know, like I have friends that are probably being racist right now, and to know that there's people calling them out, or somebody saying like if you're in a pregame and it's a, you know, a bunch of fucking frat dudes and someone says something racist, like if like for someone to say, yo, dude, that's not fucking cool. Like that does more than you think it does, because some people need to hear from their friends that what they're doing is not okay. You know, like people can read on Twitter, girls, guys, oh, don't say this, don't say that. But when your friend turns to you and says like, dude, that's not fucking cool. Like, I mean, for me, that would say a lot. I was talking down on a race or talking about someone's sexuality and Gianna looked at me and was like, that shit's not cool. Like, I don't think that, like, I don't think you're funny. Like that would seriously hit me. And that would mean a lot to me. Like that would change how I looked at things. So I think, you know, that's another really big way to, like, you don't have to go and be an Instagram influencer. You don't have to spend hundreds of dollars. But if you're holding the people around you accountable for being a piece of shit, mm-hmm. I think that's a really big step.
Hold on, I'm trying to find something.
You're fine, girl. I definitely think there's a lot of pressure right now on white people to hold the platform because, you know, we do say your voice carries, but it really is the smallest thing.
So these are some things that white people can do. Deprioritize white comfort. Being anti-racist is hard work and it can be uncomfortable, and that is okay. White majority comfort is not more important than safety and humanity of black minority people. Literally the least that we can do is speak up. And if you say the wrong things, that's fine. We learn, we listen, and we move on. This world, this country specifically, was not built for black people to have success. It's uncomfortable and it's scary and it's dangerous, but it's costing black people lives. Listen, people who are used to being the majority are used to being heard and listened to more than minority friends. Take time to decentralize yourself from the conversation. Like Callie says, you are not the main character here. Be a supporting role. Listen and learn. Don't ask questions. Don't insert your thoughts. Just listen. Use your platform. Speak up. Diversify your platform, raise awareness among those otherwise won't see. If you don't surround yourself with people who don't look like you, diversify that people, girl. Make connections. Yeah. We are living in a world that you are connected to everybody with literally just looking in your search bar.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Educate yourself. You have access to Google. We said this. And I can't stress this enough. Educating yourself as a white person is not your black friend's burden. It's none of their business. Take it upon yourself. It will take a toll on your black friend's mental health.
Or exhausted.
They're fucking tired.
Or exhausted, I promise.
You're not too old and you're not too young. to change your ways and to learn and listen. I'm going to be really honest. My dad is from Italy. And I think he thinks it's okay for him to say racist things because he says it in Italian. And this is going to be my biggest struggle. I call up my fucking dad all the time. And he can make excuses that that's how he grows up. And, like, having this conversation with my dad aren't fun. It always ends in a fight. But he's open to learning. He's open to changing. And he needs to know that those actions aren't okay. And just because he's my dad, I'm not going to stay silent.
She's not going to cut him slack, but she is going to help him.
For sure. I feel like I've been talking for a while.
No, I think that
we just wanted to cover
like everything that kind of was caught up from last week and like the new things that have come up. And I really do hope that again, if there's still more things that you guys would reach out to us, because like we don't mind personally educating. I mean, even though me making a joke just now that I'm exhausted, like I still do want to help people. So, you know, and Gianna is very educated on the subject. So if there was any more, you could reach out to us personally.
I just want to point out, I am white. I'm a privileged person. Mm-hmm. I have not even gone in my way. It's really not that hard to educate yourself on what's going on and what's happened and like the past of American history. Like, it's not hard. Mm-mm. You can do it.
I promise. And I know it's hard with the news, but again, like Twitter is actually more of a good source than you'd think. There's a lot of accurate stuff coming right from activists on there. You just have to seek it out properly. I'm not saying scroll down your timeline, but there are good sources. There's credible sources on there.
Guys, my tweet went viral.
Gianna is like Twitter famous now, so like honestly, like if we're on Barstool next Tuesday, don't be alarmed. Everything's different now.
I have changed.
She's got like 50k likes. Like, it's insane.
I probably won't be here next week because I'll be booked and busy.
She's gonna be in LA. I'm gonna have a new partner. No, seriously. Please just reach out to us. And again, we're going to see how this week goes. Like, we would love to return to, you know, our usual content, but we also do love educating the masses. So
also while we're here, and this isn't my platform and I'm making up the rules, we are all here for, if you are involved in the Bachelor drama, we are here for a Black Bachelor.
Please.
Sign that petition.
Tweet Bachelor ABC and say, we want a Black Bachelor.
It's about fucking time. There's a thing going around and it's like 40 seasons, one Black lead.
Honestly, like they deserve to be called out. Like, I feel bad for them, but at the same time, it's like,
geez. You know who's real silent at this time? ABC.
Is it Chris Harrison? But no. We will see next week. You know, whether we're going to return to regular content or if we're going to continue this. But either way, if you need to reach out to us about any questions, you know,
we are here.
The Undateable Socialist Girls are here.
We haven't been rebranded.
Okay, bye guys.
Bye.